Each year, the Federalist Society presents the Paul M. Batour Award. I am to a young law professor under 40 who exemplified the ideals of Paul Batour, whom the person presenting the award will tell you about briefly. I'm going to call him up in just a second. I'm going to mention a couple things. Zach Mayo from the University of Chicago chapter is going to present the award because Professor Batour finished his career teaching at the University of Chicago. He was very close with the society and with our chapter. We've had over 20 distinguished recipients of this award, which we're presenting tonight. Two of them I'm going to specifically mention because they spoke at the symposium we're here tonight, Randy Barnett and Michael Paulson. And there are a number of others who are very distinguished. So we're honored to have them here. And we're very pleased to be presenting the award. And without further ado, I'm going to call up Zach Mayo to present that.
Thank you, Gene. First of all, it's wonderful to be back. I spent my undergraduate here at the University of Florida. And other than constant pangs of regret about leaving this place to go to a place that just recorded its 80th inch of snowfall this year, it's been a wonderful weekend. So good to be back. This part of the night, as Gene has indicated, honors the memory of a man who spent part of his career at my current school, the University of Chicago. Paul M. Batour was a respected and prolific scholar of constitutional law, both at Harvard Law School and the University of Chicago. His students benefited from his personal guidance just as much as the legal academia benefited from his thoughtful contributions in areas ranging from criminal procedure to federal jurisdiction. Professor Batour's career was equally distinguished outside of the walls of academia. Professor Batour served as Deputy Solicitor General for President Ronald Reagan, successfully and disinterestedly defending the laws of the United States in front of the Supreme Court on numerous occasions. Even upon returning to academic pursuits, Professor Batour continued to value active participation in public affairs, arguing in front of the Supreme Court on several occasions. The Batour Award honors the memory of Professor Batour by recognizing a young legal academic nominated by his or her students and colleagues for possessing and exemplifying the traits of Paul Batour's scholarship, mentorship, and public impact. Joshua D. Wright has excelled in each of these categories. Professor Wright is originally from San Diego and graduated from UCLA Law School in 2002. He also received a PhD in economics from UCLA the following year. Professor Wright clerked for Judge Selna of the Central District of California upon graduation, and also taught public policy at Pepperdine University before teaching both law and economics at George Mason University Law School. His work is focused primarily on antitrust law and consumer economics, and he has edited journals in both of those areas. His legal scholarship has led directly to his public service, that portion of the Batour Award, serving first as a scholar in residence and since January of 2013 as a commissioner on the Federal Trade Commission. As a commissioner, Professor Wright applies his academic research and practical experience in the federal government's enforcement of consumer protection and antitrust law. Given Professor Wright's body of cohesive scholarship and demonstrable commitment to apply that scholarship to public service, it is my pleasure to present the 2014 Paul M. Batour Award to Professor Joshua D. Wright.
Thank you, Zach. Randy told me, I'm sitting over there with one of the former Batour Award winners, Randy Barnett, who told me in 1991 they did not allow him any time to speak, so if I needed extra minutes, I could steal some of his. I know that I'm not the main attraction for the evening, so I promise to be brief and not even to steal any of Randy's time. But I did want to thank Gene, the Federalist Society, University of Florida, for the great honor of winning the Paul Bator Award here today. Gene pointed out the list of former winners is absolutely phenomenal. If you have a smartphone device that allows you to Google such a thing now, if you look at the list, it is just amazing. And leaves one at the podium asking questions like, what am I doing on this list? I certainly don't belong on such a list. The problem that I am plagued with in terms of my scholarship is that the PhD in economics means I spend a lot of my time doing empirical work. So one tries to poke around for data to answer these questions. Why would I win such a thing? What does it mean? What can I expect in the latter part of my career for having been bestowed the award? So I went searching for a theory of Bator Award winners. I'm at the Federal Trade Commission now. I'm bored. I'm looking for academic projects. And so this was sort of what I tried to do. So if you, again, use the smartphone device and Google prior acceptance speeches, two of my friends and recent former winners, Todd Henderson and Eugene Kontorovich, both say during their speeches, I've got such a theory. The theory is that the Bator Award is given to provide incentives for the back half of your career. It's a pre-ward, if you will, I think was the term that my friend Eugene used. It is a pre-ward. So, and I believe he said, the current president's Nobel Peace Prize. His joke, not mine. Now, I wanted to test the pre-warding hypothesis. I was went out and searched for data, and armed with YouTube and some RAs at the Federal Trade Commission, I decided I would look at productivity and citations before and after winning. I sort of went looking for data to support the idea that I hoped that would show that later in the sort of post 40 years of my career, I would do something where I would feel comfortable being on the list with Randy and the other winners. So my first plunge into the data was a little bit disappointing. There's a great recent paper that's on NBR somewhere on the relationship between age and scientific genius and or other contributions. If I was showing you a picture of the data, it would go up until 40 and then plummet. Albert Einstein once famously quipped that a person who has not made his great contribution by the age of 30 will never do so. Turns off across the sciences, he's about a decade off. But sort of not a lot of fire or support for the post 40 contributions. If you look at the number of publications or their placement, again, no effect. Now, it turns out that mostly this means that the average winner has been very productive before they're given the award. I'm going to get to the data punchline, which is, if you look at the winners and what they've done after the award, Bator Award winners have been cited after receiving the award more than 30,000 times compared to something about a tenth of that before. Controlling for per year citations, per article citations, their work in the post award winning period is they're cited about five times more often. They're cited in places that matter a lot more, places like Supreme Court opinions and so forth and so on. And I think that data sort of begins to tell the real story. And make me more than deeply honored to be sitting here, but also a little bit more optimistic than when I started on what my post 40 career looks like when I leave the commission. What the data say is that the award winners and after winning the award go out and do work that has significant public impact. They go and they focus their intellectual energies on stuff that matters. And stuff that matters is the stuff that has an influence not only in the legal academy, but outside of the legal academy. And precisely because the Paul Bator Award is aimed not at picking just sort of young academics that are cranking out papers, but people who show a concern for their students, but a concern with having a public impact, I think that is a common thread among the Bator Award winners for anybody who takes a look at that phenomenal list. And I am deeply honored and tickled to be included among the prior winners. And so I thank you and the Federalist Society very much.